name. I dare not, Lord, live a life that doesn't magnify you. So I take the privilege now, God, to exalt you. I take this privilege, God, to magnify your name. I lift you higher than any problem I have. I lift you higher than any situation I might be going through. Because, Lord, you are greater than anything I'm walking through even now. Thank you for the privilege of being in relationship with you. Thank you for the opportunity, God, to even be covered by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for saving me. And while I'm thanking you, God, let me thank you for waking me up to see another day. Didn't have to do it, but you did. Pause to celebrate you, God, for the hedge of protection you placed around me. Thank you. Now give unto me articulation of speech, clarity of thought. God, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. All the people of God said amen. Hallelujah. Let me thank you all for tuning in today. I welcome you to our Bible study. Praise God for you on today. To our digital worship leaders who are assisting me as we are engaging with one another, I do pray that you would take this opportunity to engage with me as we indulge in study, that we might not make the mistake of allowing me to entertain you as much as leading you in study as we go forward in what God's called us to. Grateful for your presence on today. Thank you. I want to continue our study. As you all know, we've been embarking upon unpacking our growth track. Our growth track, number one, is knowing God, to know God. Number one is know God, know God. Number two is get connected. Number three is discover purpose. And number four is to make a difference. On today, I want to begin to unpack discover purpose. I want to unpack discover purpose, discover purpose. We've been indulging on knowing God, get connected. On today, it is my responsibility to shift us that we might be able to begin to unpack discover purpose. Mark Twain said, "The two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you found out why." Two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you found out why. Mark Twain gives that unto us. The late Miles Monroe says it like this. He said, "The greatest tragedy in life is not death, but it's life without reason." The greatest tragedy in life is not death, but life without reason. That's Miles Monroe. Benjamin Mays, who happened to have been the founder, or the former, rather, former president of Morehouse College, Benjamin Mays said that the tragedy of life does not lie in not reaching your goal. The tragedy of life lies in having no goal to reach. Please allow me to give it to you again, Shayla. The tragedy of life does not lie, L-I-E, in not reaching your goal. But the tragedy of life lies in having no goal to reach. I want to suggest to you all that it's not a tragedy to die having dreams unfulfilled, but it is a tragedy not to dream. Not to dream. It's a tragedy not to dream. I think Miles Monroe also said this, and this is not in your slide, but I do want to just kind of give it to you. Miles Monroe said that the greatest place on planet Earth, the wealthiest place on planet Earth, is the graveyard. It is there where you will find songs that have never been written, books that have never been published, plays and dramas that have never been put forth, all because we died with our purpose and potential still in us. Therefore, he says to us, Deacon Chris, that the graveyard is the wealthiest place on planet Earth. I want to suggest to you all again on today that it's not a tragedy to die having dreams unfulfilled, but it is a tragedy not to dream. It's not a disaster to be unable to reach your ideal, but it is a disaster to have no ideal to capture. It's not a disgrace to reach the stars or to not reach the stars, rather. It's not a disgrace not to reach the stars, but it is a disgrace to have no stars to reach for. Not failure, but low aim is sin. I believe, y'all, that goals, dreams, and ideas and stars for which to reach are inextricably tied to one's purpose. A life without purpose is like a rider on a rocking horse. It makes much motion, but no progress. I do want you to get this, y'all, again. Life without purpose is like a rider on a rocking horse. It makes much motion, but makes no progress. The story is told about a greyhound racetrack in Florida where these greyhound dogs lined up to race each other, and the spectators would gamble on the dogs. The dog would sprint after a mechanical rabbit leading them around the track. Well, in this particular race, just as the dogs were released, the bunny rabbit exploded. With the rabbit gone, the pursuing greyhounds didn't know what to do. One of the dogs immediately sat down and rested. Another dog became so confused, he dashed through the fence and hurt himself. Several dogs started barking at the spectators in the stand, but not one single dog finished the race. Here's why: because there was nothing to chase. This strikes me as a very vivid picture of the way many of us live our lives. When there's nothing to chase, we struggle to find meaning in our lives. We sit down and get stuck right where we are. We try various escape routes only to hurt ourselves. We post, we tweet, we upload photos chasing others, and eventually we give up the race because we have nothing to chase. Without purpose, one's life is meaningless. I want you to get this, please, if you will. Without purpose, one's life is meaningless. It lacks direction. It will ultimately, you all, strip us of fulfillment. Purpose is the original intent in the mind of the Creator that motivated the Creator to create a particular thing or person. It is purpose that becomes the end for which a means exists. Purpose is the answer to the all-important question, why? It's the answer to the all-important why question of existence. Purpose is that which clarifies in French what's called the raison d'être, which is one's reason for being. Raison d'être. I do want you to put that in your notes if you don't mind. The raison d'être, RAISONDETRE. It just simply means which is one's reason for being. Raison d'être, reasons for being. All of us, y'all, find ourselves haunted by our reason for being. All of us find ourselves literally haunted by this. What's our reason for being? What's the reason for being? So today I thought I would come today and I would just pose a question to you. I want to pose this question. And here's the question I want you to take back with you. I want you to put it in your notes. I want you to get your pens. I want you to put this in your notes. Here it is. The question is that I need you to ask yourself. Here it is. Am I doing what I was made to do? Am I doing what I was made to do? Am I doing what I was created to do? Come on, I need you to lean in here. I want you to probe this question in your own life. I want you to answer this. Am I doing what I was made to do? Am I doing what I was made to do? Okay, if you will, get your Bibles if you will. Get your Bibles. I want you to look with me in Ephesians chapter 2. I know it's going to be on the monitor, but I need you to look at it for yourself. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. I'm reading to you from the NIV version. Here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. It says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." There are some words here that are highlighted in yellow. I want you to hold on to them. I want you to see them. They're so important. It says, "For we are God's handiwork." We are God's handiwork. "Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God determined these good works. He determined these good works. We determined these good works before you and I were even born. We are God's handiwork. You and I, we are God's handiwork. And God determined some works that he needed done even before you and I were born. He prepared them in advance. I don't want you all to miss this. He prepared the things he needed done in advance. Y'all, he prepared them in advance as my assignment, as my task, as my calling, and my mission. I want to suggest to you today, y'all, that there are some things, there's something for you to do, y'all, that God created you all before he even put us on the earth. There were some things for you and I to do before there was a you, before there was a me. There were some things that God wanted done, that he created and wanted done before there even was a you or me. Y'all, God had the thing for you to do, and then he made you. Please get this. I said God had the thing that he needed done, and then after he had the thing he needed done, he then made you, which means then that he made you with the ability to do that thing because he had the thing first and then he made you. And when God made you, he already knew what he needed you to do, so he put inside of you the thing you needed to complete the assignment, y'all, for the purpose for which you were created. Which means this: if you discover you, you'll discover the thing you were meant to do. You will discover the thing you were designed to do. Please put this in your notes. I want you to know this. You're not one in a million. You are one of a kind. Oh, please hold on to this, you all. You're not one in a million. You are one of a kind. There is nobody or nothing like you. Not one in a million, you're one of a kind. See, God has a unique and distinct purpose for your life. He's designed you specifically for the calling he has put on your life. God invites each of us to experience the joyous adventure of fulfilling the potential that he's placed inside of us. You already have what it takes. You just have to unlock it. You already have it. Each of us was created with purpose. Every one of us was created with purpose. That's why he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are God's handiwork. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God had the thing that he wanted us to do before he created you. So stop saying you were a mistake. That is absolutely not true. God had what he needed you to do first, and then God made you. So each of us is created with purpose. Oh, man, I need you to hold on to this, y'all. Each of us, come on, look over at your neighbor, wherever you are. Look at your neighbor, your family member. Just tell them, each one of us was created with purpose. With purpose. Okay, let's continue to track this a little further. Let's go a little further. If you go over to Ephesians chapter 4, I had you initially in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I now want you to look with me at Ephesians 4, and I'm going to hang out around verse 7, and then I'm going to do verses 11 through 13. Now watch what he says here in Ephesians 4. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, I'm in verse 11 now. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Watch this. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, obtaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, what I want you to do for me, I want you to notice, you all, the first sentence of the text in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, but to each one of us, grace has been given. You see that? To each one of us, grace has been given. Now, I do need you to note that that word translated for grace means a special gift, a divine enablement. What I want you to see here, if you don't mind, is that the word grace in this connotation, in this particular passage, is not a reference to grace as we think of it in relation to God's mercy and our salvation. No. That's not what we see here, Deacon Chris. What we see here is not about salvation or God's mercy. Instead, the word grace here refers to something that you do that brings fulfillment and makes a difference in the lives of those around you. It's about you being given a purpose for existence. Wow. Y'all, understand, when we see the word grace, immediately you and I think about grace associated with salvation. But that's not what this particular word grace is giving unto us in this particular passage of scripture. Y'all, in this passage, y'all, right here, grace refers to something that you do that brings fulfillment and makes a difference in the lives of those around you. Grace means a special gift, a divine enablement. I want you to get, it's about you being given a purpose for existence. Now, that's the first thing. The second thing this verse helps us to see is the fact that God not only wants us to know our own individual purpose, but he also wants us to help others know their unique purpose. I know I'm right because he says to us, you all, that he's given unto us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people. To equip the people. So y'all, the second thing that he wants us to see in that verse is that I need you to know that I have given you what you need for your own individual purpose, but I also want to help others. I want you to help others know what their unique purpose is. I gave you your gift. I gave you your grace that you might be able to discover your purpose, but also that you might, in fact, help others discover their purpose. I've given it to you so you can live out your purpose. And while you're living out your purpose, I need you to help others come to know what their unique purpose is. The word grace here is not the word grace for salvation, but this word means a special gift, a divine enablement. Now watch what it says again. But to each one of us, grace has been given. God. Here it is. For each one of us, grace has been given. I'll do it again for you. To each one of us, a special gift has been given as Christ apportioned it. So you can't even tell me that you don't have no gift or no purpose for living or existence, because that's incorrect. Christ has given unto us what we needed to fulfill the purpose for which we were created. Okay, let's see. I knew this was going to be a little hard today, so I came prepared to just track and trace. I want to help you. I want to track and trace. Now, we looked at Ephesians 4, looked at Ephesians 2. Let's do this. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. And again, watch this. Here we see a reference to the same kind of grace in Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome. Watch what he says. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Here again, that word translated for grace means the special gift that has been given to us to fulfill our purpose as we help others discover their purpose. Come on, y'all. Come on with me. Lean in real close, you all. I'm going to do it again for you. I want you to get this. Here we see again this word grace. And right here, if you do the translation of the word grace, this is not referencing salvation, but here this word grace means a special gift that has been given to you and I to fulfill our purpose for which we were created by the Creator and to help others discover their purpose. Now, I want y'all to know this. The last thing Satan wants from you and I is for you and I to operate out of our God-given purpose. Man. I want you to get this, y'all. The last thing Satan wants for us is for you and I to operate out of our God-given purpose. I need you to know that, y'all. The last thing he wants is for you to operate out of your God-given purpose. And certainly he don't want you to do it at full throttle. See, a major part of his plan revolves around preventing us from knowing and leaving out our purpose. No matter how he tries, he cannot keep us from using the gifts God has placed inside of us. All we have to do, listen to me carefully, come in, lean in. What we have to do is unlock the gifts and actualize them through the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, man, we've got to actualize them. Y'all, let me do this again. So now watch this. Whenever I see this word grace, whether it is in, y'all, the passage found in Ephesians 4 or whether it is in Romans 12, I need you to understand there are two things that he's trying to do. The first thing is that he's simply trying to get us to know that we have a gift that will allow us, he wants us to know our own individual purpose. But then secondly, he also wants us to help others know their unique purpose. And y'all, from there you need to know this. The last thing Satan wants from you and I is for you and I to operate out of our God-given purpose. He doesn't want that. Y'all give him anything, but don't operate out of your God-given purpose, because at that moment, you are literally fulfilling the purpose for which you created, which happens to be counter to what he in fact wants you to do. Okay, let's do one more passage. Let me do one more. If I could get you to go to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Look at Psalms 139. Just trying to track and trace, trying to establish you have a purpose, was created with a purpose. That purpose was to be fulfilled in your life, and then secondly, to help others discover their purpose. Psalms 139. Watch what it says here. I'm going to hang out around verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Watch this, you all. Verse 14. Drop down to verse 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Look at verse 16. Drop down to verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Y'all, if you look closely at how God made you, then you'll discover that what your life is all about, it's already there inside of you. God didn't just make you and then say, let me see if I can find something for you to do. That's not how God rolled. No, God had something for you to do before he made you. And when he made you to fulfill the thing that he needed done. If you just look inside of you, it's there. God created you on purpose. He created you on purpose. I want to give this back, give this to you. Please put this in your notes if you don't mind. Here it is. God created you on purpose, cultivated you for purpose, craft you with purpose, and then called you to purpose. I want you to get this. Come on, log it in. I said, God created you on purpose. He cultivated you for purpose, crafted you with purpose, and then called you to purpose. I need you to hold on to that for me. God created you on purpose. So your mom and dad said you were a mistake. Absolutely incorrect. They just didn't know that they were being used of God. God created you on purpose. So what? They've tried to tell you that you were the product of a relationship that was not sanctioned. Hey, God created you on purpose. He cultivated you for purpose, crafted you with purpose, and then called you to purpose. Okay. Got to quit, but let me give this to you. Give me about 5 more minutes of your time and I'll let you go. Here it is. I want to show you the stages in the life purpose journey. Pastor, what's the stages? If I'm going to get to my purpose, Pastor, what's the stages? What does it look like? Here it is. Number one, here's stage one. Stage one is what I call divine purpose. Divine purpose. Divine purpose simply means God created us with a divine purpose in mind. He created us with a divine purpose in mind. Now remember, Brother Joe, I gave y'all Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where I told you he prepared in advance for us those things he needed done. He prepared those things in advance for us to do. He prepared them in advance for us to do. So the first stage is divine purpose. That's stage one. But then here's stage two. It's there on the monitor for you. Stage two is designed person. Designed person. Number one is divine purpose. Number two is designed person. And what I mean by designed person, you are right here, stage two. It's because God started with our divine purpose that he uniquely designed us to fulfill that purpose. So what God does is he deposited within us a unique design to fulfill our God-given mission. And for me, my brothers and sisters, that's called design person. So what God does, he divined purpose. Through the divine purpose, he divined or had decided what he wanted from us. That's called divine purpose. He created us with a divine purpose in mind. And then God turned right around and designed you and I so that you and I would have in us what we needed to fulfill our God-given mission. Here's number three. Number three is called the discovery process. It's called the discovery process. Now, this is where we try to figure out exactly what God wants to do with our lives. Listen to me carefully. This right here might be the hardest process, because right here is where you and I have to be intentional about seeking God and communicating with God to find out what it is that he designed us for, that he created you for. And you have to be in relationship with him. Let's go over it again. Number one, divine purpose. I was created with a divine purpose in mind. Number two, then God designed me as a person. Because God started with our divine purpose, he uniquely designed us to fulfill that purpose. But then from there is stage three, is the discovery process. This is where we try to figure out what God wants us to do. This is the hardest thing for us to do. It's there that we seek y'all to get answers, directions, and counsel. Hey, I need somebody to help me. This is the most difficult, and it might take us the longest to get done. That's called discovery process. Here's the last one. Stage four is devoted pursuit. Now that I know my purpose, am I willing to pursue it with full devotion? This is where we want to be, y'all. But it's also where the rubber meets the road. Because right here in this stage, you become accountable to act on what God has revealed to you. Wow. You become accountable to literally act on what God has called you to do. Now listen, thank you for your time. Here's your homework assignment. As we prepare to get together again next Wednesday for more Bible study, listen, here it is. I need you to intentionally probe the question, am I doing what I was made to do? I want you to intentionally probe the very heart of God and ask God, hey, God, listen. I already know you created me with purpose in mind. I don't want to spend the rest of my life chasing a rabbit around a course doing absolutely nothing that is associated with the purpose for which you created me. God revealed to me whether or not I'm in the lane. Am I doing what you called me to do? That's your homework assignment for this week. Am I doing what I was made to do? Am I doing what God created me to do? Am I sitting down doing absolutely nothing with the gift and the purpose purpose God placed inside of me? Now, once you probe that question, you get the answer. And you find out that, hey, I'm not where God designed me to be. I need you to ask God for forgiveness. And then I need you to take up your arms and begin to do what God has designed you to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the privilege of being able to unpack this for our viewers on today. I ask God that you begin to speak to our hearts and our lives. Speak to us so clearly that, God, we know it's you. Help us to begin to literally do that which you created us to do. God, help us now. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the people of God said amen. My brothers and sisters, if you